Greetings. Welcome to the Clary Podcast. Got some Kelly's Heroes. I did not think this was going to be the Kelly's Heroes song. I thought I had the other Kelly's Heroes song on the old laptop, and I don't. I'm so missing some key data files from this laptop. Those are the problems, though, of traveling around the world on your motorcycle. Yes, big problems, big problems. Oh, you think it's glory and cash and flash and girls running around saying hi, wish. All these girls are flashing me. You think that's what it is? They're standing there on the overpasses. All the hot chicks kick off the fat ones, plus the civil engineers like, whoa, we can't have fat chicks flashing Clary on the bridges. The bridges weren't made for that tonnage. No, we can only have skinny chicks. Only skinny chicks flashing Aaron as he drives down I-10. And that totally didn't happen. I wish. Oh, no, the problems are very small and minor. Although, I'll tell you this, we are here by Phoenix, by the way, and I am so happy I got into Phoenix when I did, because the last podcast, I was telling you all the logistical problems, where we had the different variables, daylight, heat, lodging, stuff like that. And it is only by sheer luck I left when I did. I kind of looked. I'm like, yeah, I can make it. Plus I was getting stir crazy over in Florida. Not that I don't love my buddy dearly, but I cannot eat at another fucking Waffle House. They got horrible food. It's not a joke. It's not a stereotype. You know, you see Florida up in the north. When we see Florida, it's like all Miami and flash and cash and more of the snowbird culture. And people always kept telling me, like, oh, yeah, it's hick down there, and it's trailer trash. I'm like, what are you talking about? I visited Kerry Lutz. He lives, like, in this posh development. I mean, like, it's all rich, fancy, happy people down there. Until you drive through the rest of the state and go into the panhandle, I'm like, oh, this is what they're talking about. But even then, it didn't matter driving away from the coast. You got to get away from the coast into the center. And then you see the redneck hickish thing. And even then, you got to go up north a little bit. Like Orlando, that cuts right through the middle. That's more touristy. But even on the coasts, I guess it's just the culture or whatever. Or you know, as the old people or the New York people moved down south and there was this great migration, they said, what restaurants we got? Okay, take these really crappy restaurants and just build them out. Build more of them. You know, so how many Waffle Houses were made before Chipotle finally got in, before it went E. coli? I mean, you'll see them. You'll see, like, not a Whole Foods. You'll see healthy places, but for every healthy place, my gosh. And especially, I understand why my buddy eats so poorly. I understand. Because he's busy like me. He's hustling, moving, and shaking. And if given the time, you know, the choice, rather, I should say, between having to spend the time to actually make a meal at home, which necessitates you go get groceries, which necessitates you got to keep your tab on them before they go bad. Shoot, I wasn't even a busy, really totally employed person, and half my groceries would go bad. And just a tidbit of advice for you young boys out there. Yeah, you'll save money, but boy, that is one of the first things I would get rid of is a fridge. If you can get by without having a fridge. Just like a little cube fridge. And your resale value won't go up, and your landlord might hate it if you got rid of the big fridge. But if you can outsource your food prep, that is such a time saver. And you're going to eat better food, assuming you're not in Florida and you have options, like if you're willing to go to Subway and get the salad. None of you purists come in here now, Subway isn't healthy. I know, nothing's healthy according to all you people. Everything is Monsanto. Everything's got chemicals and GMO and this and that and hormones. We're all good at, I don't care. You guys spend it takes time. It takes effort. That is a chore. That is a challenge to go and eat healthy. And I do, to the best of my ability. I will get a salad. I will eat at Subway. I'll get their salad, get the chicken breast thing. I'll go get a chicken over at the groceries, the pulled chicken. That's how lazy I am. I will get the pulled chicken. Because I don't want to pull the chicken myself. I don't have time for that bullshit. And so I'll kind of do the no-carb thing. And I don't know. Are the chickens fed organically? Probably not. I'm eating healthier and better than I ever had before. It really has got to be a white girl from the suburb thing. Isn't that kind of your sport or your hobby, ladies? are going to Trader Joe's than Whole Foods. You don't see really any oppressed people or real people who, like, are working poor going to Whole Foods, do you? Because we don't have time. You don't see hustler movers and shakers going to Whole Foods because we don't have time. But if you're a hobbyist, and oh my goodness, I just... If you're like one of those soccer moms that has a rich husband, that you're one of the few, you know, and I appreciate you ladies staying home, taking care of your kids. But if you're the type that you still have the rich husband, he has the money, but then you still outsource your kid because it gets in the way of your nail appointment and your coffee latte meeting up with the other soccer moms, and then the kids at daycare, and you're getting your manicure and your pedicure, and then you got to go to Whole Foods because you think you're just so precious on this planet, you're a special human. Yeah, we know what he likes, you people. We really don't. Anyway, so boys, outsource that as quickly as possible. Go to, God bless Subway. $5 footlongs, dude, if we had that in college, there'd be no refrigerators on college campuses anymore. There'd just be lines going out to the Subways. That's all there would be. Where was it? Oh, yeah, so he has no time. By the time you calculate all the stuff, it's better for him. Maybe you should get him a maid, I guess. I guess that would, you know, have somebody, some kind of assistant go get him groceries. Maybe clean his place, although he's anal retentively clean. But just in general, shopping for your own food, going grocery, that's an hour process right there. An hour process. Do you have that time? Plus, you need to get out of the house. You know, it gives you an excuse. Let's go to Subway. Let's go to Chipotle. Let's go to whatever burger. They got those out here. But in Florida, what I'm saying, boy, you got to drive far and long to find good quality food. No, not maybe far, but you gotta go hunt it down. Because for every, like, healthy, and there was one, it was like, not a yogurt shop, some kind of healthy. Never even made it there. For every one of those, though, there's four or five Waffle Houses. And whereas I have the discipline and self-control, I managed to get, like, a vegetable in the 2 or 3 weeks I was out there. Honest to God, my buddy, he just, omelets, always going with omelets. We go to this place called the Egg Platter. It's over in St. Louis Park. He'll drive out of the way for that. Meat omelet. Oh, Jesus. Butter on the toast. Forget that. Toast on the butter. Butter sandwich. Like, God, you're going to die, dude. You are not going to make it to 50. And so, you know, you hang. Hey, let's get dinner. Yeah, let's get dinner. And here, we're going to go to the Cholesterol Cafe. And, oh. So, I am kind of happy to be in Phoenix because there's... The place I'm crashing at, I'm only a mile and a half away from a Safeway, which in Wyoming was kind of like, there's Albertsons and Safeway, and I think they actually bought each other out. But the Safeway grocery store was kind of the higher end, if you could imagine that in Casper. But again, you're dealing with the who-dang-diggly-danglies out there, and there's lines. They could never install the self-checkout line. That technology was only a decade old, way too new. So along with payphones and bell bottoms over there in Casper in 2013, you could imagine the lines, especially with the hoodangs. Not only staffing the checkout lines, but the idiots who were lined up in the checkout lines paying with their checks. So that's a bad Safeway. The Safeway out here, very nice, over in Chandler. And it's nice. It's nice. So I had to take a walk because it's too cold to ride the motorcycle. Plus, I had to get out. And, oh, they had good food once again. Vegetables, had a salad. They had a good sushi. Actually getting the sushi technology up now where you can make it fresh at a grocery store and it's not horrible. It's made right there. You see them making it there. It did come from a factory shipped in on a truck. You don't know where the hell that came from. Where is the sushi factory? You got to wonder, where was the sushi factories? You're driving there on the highway, out in the burbs, out in the city. What facility, one of those closed 1970s buildings you can't see, no sun gets in, they're making the sushi under mysterious conditions like the NSA, and then you just load it up into the truck? It doesn't paint a good picture. There's no good mental image that comes from that. You know, who's making it? Do they wash their hands? And how did it always get like... It turned into, you guys know what I'm talking about if you were sushi fans. You go back about a decade to even 5 years ago, the grocery stores started offering sushi, but you could tell it was prepackaged, it wasn't made in their deli, and it was somehow factory made, and even I mean, you could get the sushi platter, and the plastic top that covered the sushi platter was molded to fit the sushi. Like, did you melt it? Does all the sushi on this platter, all 100 pieces, come out the exact same, that you can have a template, a plastic template that goes over it? Because you either melted the template onto this particular spread of sushi, or your sushi comes out exactly like this template all the time, which is even scarier. And then you tasted it because you're like, oh, sushi, it's great. And then you taste like, this isn't good. It's like, it had the consistency of Play-Doh. It was mush. And then you become a sushi snob. Like, oh, no, I won't go to grocery store sushi. Well, now grocery store sushi is, it's coming up. And they have it there. And I'm like, oh, and I saw the guy making it. So I saw him making it. Okay, there he is. He's making it. All right, I know that's good. That's fresh. But then you got problems, see. Because I'm not on the motorcycle right now. It is too cold. I'll get to that, by the way. But we're talking about logistics with sushi problems now. I had to walk to the Safeway because it's just too cold to take the motorcycle. Plus, I needed some exercise. Riding my ass out here past 4 or 5 days. And it has been freezing. At night, it gets below 32. I think the high yesterday was 45. It's miserable. Cloudy. Absolutely miserable. So if you take the bike, that's just too cold. And I'm like, you know what? I need to get exercise. It'll keep me warm. So I hoof it down there. And the problem with sushi, especially if you're not at your place, she doesn't have any of the soy sauce or the wasabi or the ginger. And they give you some packet of soy sauce. And I like layering up my sushi with ginger and soy sauce. So I'm thinking, like, okay, do I make the infrastructure investment of buying her a bottle of soy sauce with a bottle of ginger, if she's not a big sushi fan, and she won't eat grocery store sushi because she still thinks it's that slop made in the factory over in Fargo, North Dakota, and shipped in across the country. You know, am I going to go through all of that? I'd have to eat sushi every day. Well, it's too late because I'm going to be taken off here pretty soon and hang out. Although I do want sushi. It would be good to have sushi today. It was tempting and calming, and it's healthy. It's pretty healthy. Don't you idiots who think it's got rice and rice. Ah, shut up. Nothing's healthy for you people. Absolutely, there's no fun. There's no happiness. Like, you know, you have six senses, right? Why do you negate or deny yourself pleasuring one of your six senses? That's like taking 1/6 of the fun out of life. Or wait, what's the five? Is it five? Am I confused with, you know, the sixth sense was the movie. There's only, taste, touch, smell, sight, hearing? Is that it? Five? Whatever. So you're going to get rid of taste? Why don't you just go blind yourself while you're at it? I mean, if you don't want to, I mean, whoa, hey, if pretty pictures and vistas cause caloric intake, what, would you blind yourself? You got to go and have a little bit of fun. Have a McDonald's, a Big Mac, have the fries with it. Just live life a little bit. Yes, you might die 2 hours earlier. Yes, that might happen. It might happen. But people who are eating steak and lobster and putting butter occasionally, not eating at Waffle House every day. I'm saying occasionally. Or people who don't fret about, you know, having a slice of bread or a little bit of rice with their sushi. You know, they're living it up a little bit. They're having a much more enjoyable time. Anyway, forgot how this related, but doesn't really matter. I'm glad I left when I did, because I'm not joking, guys. I got through Tucson. There was a dust storm coming in. It was kind of cool, actually. It wasn't anything you couldn't handle. It was like a dust storm. And all of a sudden, I start seeing some clouds in the western part of the sky. Sun's starting to set. And it was 78 in Tucson. Sunny out, beautiful. Had a great ride all the way from Van Horn to Tucson. It was beautiful. I'm coming up on the southern end of Phoenix. Sun goes down behind the clouds. And guys, it had to have dropped 15 degrees in that 30 minutes of time I was driving. It was nuts. And then that night it got down into the 30s. I mean, I said, well, maybe I'll take my motorcycle. No way. And it stayed like that for 2 days. All I did was sit on this dang couch, hang out with this dog, Attila. Right, Attila? Some kind of pit bull whippet mix. Just the most quiet dog. And it's weird. We had established, I stayed here at my buddy's place before, and me and Attila had established a relationship. So when I came in, I thought she'd like me. She actually liked me beforehand. And now she doesn't. She was growling at me again. I'm like, don't you remember me? Didn't we have something? I was thinking that would make a great song. Matt Baldoni could sing it like a country song about a guy who met a dog. And after, like, you know, he had earned the respect and the faith and the trust of the dog, then they'd have fun. The owner would leave, then he'd become best friend. Dog kind of sleeping next to me when the owner goes to work. The dog crawls in with me, follows me around. But then you go away for 6 months, you come back, the dog doesn't remember you. There's a sad country song in there, Matt, don't you think? I could write the lyrics for it. And she doesn't do much now. She just, I don't know if she got older or what. Went for a potty break. And then she didn't want to run or walk. And just kind of lies there. I wonder if she's just missing her mom or if she's sick. I think her ma said she was sick. Usually I can get her to ride up. Attila! Oh, no, she's out. No, she just opened her eyes. Are you all right? Do you want a doggy treat? Are you okay? You need water? You want sushi? We'll go halvesies on it, okay? She's looking at me. If you spring for the soy sauce and the ginger, I'll go get the sushi, okay? Because you'll be here, you'll be able to use it more than I will. This sad old dog. Yeah, but I've just been hanging out here with the dog. That's all I've been doing, just staying in this apartment. And as you could tell, it started to agitate, started to get a little stir crazy. I did. I walked out in that crappy weather just to go. I mean, not just to get food, but just to get out. And then I went and I got an oil change. Oh my gosh. Went to the world's slowest oil change place for motorcycles. The gal I'm staying with, she's actually an avid motorcycle race, of all things. Really cool gal. Super high, brilliant chick. Like, you know, IT chick. Closed the wage gap because she wasn't a whiny little bitch. She actually majored in something worthwhile. Gets paid gobs of money. And so she races bikes. And I said, where's a place you recommend getting your oil changed? And then the debate came up, like, well, we could do it ourselves. She's like, I got to buy an oil pan. I really should for my bike. I'm like, well, if you want it. So, well, no, I'll go to this place. They'll take care of you. I'm like, okay. And that just turned out to be a long, unnecessarily long chore. It reminds me of like when you move to a town. See, the town you're currently in, you get an efficiencies or an economies to scale because you know where everything is. But I remember moving to Minneapolis, Wyoming, Chicago, all these different places. It takes a while to figure out where everything is. There's a learning curve. And so you're exploring and whatever's outdated on the internet, or in the case of Wyoming, you don't have the internet. You have smoke signals. The Indians point you in the right direction. Like, thank you, Kemosabe. That's what it is, Wyoming. It's still the wild frontier. There's women with bonnets running around yelling, well, I declare, well, I declare. And men talking that Western, well, little lady. They're all John Wayne. And they're all like, it's about time that I go off into the sunset and ride this horse out west. Don't know why nobody goes east. Never, you do get to the Pacific, so don't know why all the cowboys must end up on the Pacific coast, don't you think? They're always going west, always into the sunset, never the sunrise. So there was always a migration of cowboys going that way. Anyway, so I went out, got the oil change. But I first went to the address. She gave me a card. She says, oh yeah, go talk to my buddy Dermot Cecil, some kind of non-traditional American name. And so I drive almost up to Tempe. Chandler's huge, by the way. If you take a look at it's just this big piece of desert, they turn into a big-ass piece of suburbanite mall. Circle K all over the place. There's five targets. I don't know. There's got to be at least five targets in Chandler. Chandler's got to have the highest number of targets per capita in the entire country. So driving, 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 driving. And I go through downtown Chandler. There's an actual downtown. Then driving, 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 driving. I'm like, okay, I'm going to hit the university here pretty soon. And I say, oh, there it is. I pull over. Oh, no, they're closed. They say, go to their new location. Where's that? Oh, you pass it about 18 miles back. Fucking turn the bike around. Driving, 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 driving. Downtown Chandler, looking at all the nice bars I want to try up, but can't because I'm not going to drink until I get my house paid off. Driving, driving, driving. Really interesting thing, though, I did find was Chandler High School and Hamilton High School. I was amazed. These schools are beautiful. Beautiful campuses. Because I'm wondering, like, where all the kids were coming from. And I didn't even think it was a school. I looked at it. I thought it was, like, somebody's rich house. They have got... Look up Chandler High School, like, image search. And look up Hamilton High School. I mean, it would be... I was like... You're not going to make it look like a prison? Like, you saw those movies, like, in the 80s. And maybe even going back to the 60s. Like, Professor Kelp. And the Nutty Professor. Even though that was a university. The campuses all looked nice. It was all outdoors. It was like that. It was this outdoor kind of thing, and people were just walking around. The architecture was beautiful. It's like, this is wonderful. So keep driving, 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 driving. And they got cute. They parked at some place tucked away in some new development. Because apparently Chandler can't stop growing. They just have to develop new things. Well, this gas station's been in operation for 2 weeks. Time to build another one just down towards the road. And I get in there, so I'm already an hour pissing away time on this. And I go in and I'm like, okay. What's the time? Again, it's like grocery shopping from my buddy. What's the time commitment on this? I could do a podcast. I got to do a couple things. I got to clean the bike. There's other stuff I can do. I brought my laptop. I could still do work on the internet. I say, all right, what's an oil change cost? And he says, it'd be about $50. And I'm like, okay. I said, what's the filter cost on this thing? He's like, it's about 20. I said, so 20 minus, say, 20 plus another, say, 15 in oil, maybe another 20. Let's just keep the math simple. So that's like $40 of cost, and then that I'd have to pay to get the oil and the filter. And then this guy's going to bang it out for an extra $10. I'm like, okay, so it's $10 for having somebody else do it. Never changed the oil on this bike before. Don't want to interrupt. Have my girlfriend coming into town. Let's not screw this up. Let's have the professionals do it right. The girl is working north. She doesn't have time. She doesn't have a oil pan. Okay, all right, fine. I'll pay for it. Hour and a half. Takes him an hour and a half to change the damn oil. And I'm like, God almighty. So the hour and a half plus the 2 hours plus the hour that I have to drive home. Or half an hour I'd have to go back to get to the place. Because Chandler is once again that big. It was a 3-hour oil change. 3 freaking hours. Did you get to ride your bike? Yes, in the cold. Did it get done right? Yes, it did. But I was just like, come on. Hour and a half just to sit there. Watching CNN. Watching the stupid presidential race going on. All the stupidity on that. Wrote a post on that on Cappy Cap. I won't go into it because I already did on the post, and frankly, it just agitated me as to how stupid they assume their view. Well, they don't assume they're 100% right. How stupid their viewing public is. It was just mind-numbingly stupid political coverage. With 3 hours, it's like, come on. I could have, but I would have had to go see. And here it is. I'd have to go find a place to get an oil filter. Well, there's not that many motorcycle or power sports places around here. They're all very far away. So I'm sure I still came out ahead in terms of time. Money savings really wasn't that much because of the cost of the filter. But it proves, like, man, once you know where there's the oil, once you get your oil filters, once you know, once you got your stands that you can work on your own bike, oh, the efficiency you gain knowing where everything is and finishing stuff. Well, let us do some sponsors here. We're going to go and... Do I have a podcast or a sponsor list? Could have sworn... No, that's right. I went to the... Hang on. Is somebody trying to steal my bike out there? The gal claims she lives in this nice neighborhood. But then you look at the vehicles, you're like, yeah, I'm not so sure. Even these nice places have ghettos. Not real ones, just kind of, yeah. Those aren't Lexuses. Look at me acting like, oh, I have to have Lexuses around. Oh, are you spoiled, Aaron? Hanging out in Florida a little bit. I'll tell you that. That's where a lot of people act like they have a lot of money. Holy shit. I've never seen so many young people pissing away their money. You guys have got to go to Ybor City. I don't know if you've ever been to Ybor City. Look at a map of Tampa, Florida. And to its immediate east is a town neighborhood called Ybor City. And it's cool. Very cool. This is the where the Cubans came in the 1890s. So this is before the Cubans trying to escape Castro. So this is the old Cubans. Kind of the original settlement. And cigar lounges all over the place. Latin clubs. Very nice. I actually enjoy it. But there's a main drag. I forget the main drag. But that's where all the clubs and the bars and the restaurants are and the cigar lounges. I think like 5 or 6 cigar lounges on a 3-block spread. It's unreal. But you go there on a Friday night and oh, do the freaks come out. You get a show unto yourself. There's a bar there or a nightclub that has themed nights. And I guess it changes because we were sitting there one day or night and everyone was dressed like 80s punk or they had the leg warmers on and the coiffed hair. Girls had big bangs. Another one was bondage night. A third one, I don't know, a furry thing. I saw a gal with ears and a tail, and I'm like, well, that's weird. And then I saw another one. I'm like, oh, must be theme night at that bar. Don't know where it is, oddly enough. You just see people evidencing that it must exist somewhere. And then they got this one bar, and you get the bouncers out, and the cops are there. And there's a line. They got that line. Classical thing from the movies, big black guy. Buff and everything. Got the little rope that he lets people in. There's people lined up, all dressed like sluts. Freaky sluts, too. Not slutty sluts, freaky sluts. It's different there in Ybor City. But then driving up and down, sure enough, you got all these wannabes. They got that used Beamer. They got that used Lexus. They got that used Cadillac. They've pimped it out. They've put a bumper sticker on a Ferrari. They're blasting their music. Guys on motorcycles driving by. And, you know, I don't have a fancy motorcycle, so I don't think it's criticism. But it is. You don't have the money to afford this much nicer one. And there you go, firing up your crotch rocket that you can't go. Really, you can't. It's so crowded, you can't go more than 5 miles an hour. It makes absolutely no sense to take a crotch rocket down that road. None. And all they do is they rev their engine because they can't do anything else. They go, wee. It's like interstate's just north of here by about 5 blocks. And even then, you can't go that fast because it's always jammed in Tampa. Oh, but man, do you people in Florida fake like you have money? It's the young people, too. St. Petersburg is a younger town. You go on the first Fridays. Oh, man, a lot of fake money there. Ybor City, same thing. But if you want to go to the real, go to like Jupiter, Palm Beach, Northside, Miami, Fort Myers, where all the old people are. That's where the real money is. Clearwater, even, I'd say, would have some real money. But boy, those kids, they swallowed a whole, man. They swallowed a whole. They're loaded up with student loans. They got some shitty-ass job. But by God, they're going to all try and act like they're super rich. Super rich people don't go to loud, obnoxious bars unless you're like a really rich old man and you're just looking to buy shit or you've never done it before in your life and you think you're missing out. Like you were the nerd or you didn't have time or you didn't have money. You wonder what it's like in those gyms or those, and not gyms, those clubs or those bars. And so what you do at 50 years old is there you are with your suit on. And then you walk in and you're like excited because it's all new to you. It's kind of like a guy going, like an adult going by himself to Disneyland or a kiddie park. You know, maybe you never made it down the water slide when you were younger. Maybe you grew up out in the desert and there were no water slides. But you know, as a 45-year-old man, you shouldn't be going there in your swimming trunks, hanging out with the little kids in the swimming pool just because you happen to make it to a town that has one. You know, that's one of those things that you're going to have to give up on. That time had passed you by. Or you go have a family and then you use your kids an excuse to go see. Like, could you really go see a kiddie movie when you're 45 by yourself? It's the same thing as going into one of these nightclubs when you're 50 and by yourself. It's just they know you're not one of them. When you're twice the age of the going or more of the average nightclub goer or bar goer, it's not you. Rich people go to Charlie's. If you ever want to go to a nice place, go to Charlie's. That is, oh, beautiful place. Steakhouse in Tampa. And unfortunately, they're going to get eminent domain did off the interstate. I hope they open up somewhere else. But guys, before it closes, you got to go to Charlie's. Oh, you want to see a place old Captain would like to call home if he ever did live in that area. Go to Charlie's. They used to allow cigar smoking. They have a very nice outdoor seating patio with palm trees and everything. I even think they have like a fake stream going by. But then you get in and they got a nice bar. They got a nice seating area. You could see them cooking the steaks and the swordfish and all that other rich shit. That's why I usually go to the bar, because they can't afford the steaks or something. There's another little tidbit of financial advice for you minimalists out there. Do you want to feel rich but still don't have the budget? Or refuse simply to pay? All you have to do is go to the bar at these places and get a drink. Go to Subway first. Get yourself the $5 footlong. And then get cocktails at the place. You're still going to spend an arm and a leg, but at least that way you kind of get a feel. I'm not a big fan of steak or lobster or swordfish or anything like that. I can make a better steak. I can make it better at home on my grill. For like $100 for a steak. $50 for a steak. That shit. You can do it for so much cheaper and better at home. In the very few instances, maybe no more than twice. Not only because it was expensive, but when I had like, okay, I'm going to get a sirloin steak or whatever the hell it was. And I'm like, this is it? This is it? And you dare don't ask for Tabasco, or not Tabasco. Well, you don't ask for that either. But you dare don't ask for ketchup or A1 steak sauce. You're supposed to eat that thing by itself. And it's kind of meh. And I know you steak aficionados. I know you people who know what the inside of a Ruth's Chris steakhouse looks like. I know all of you people who know that. No, oh gosh, you have to have, you can't, oh, it's perfect without the, no, you need ketchup, man. You need ketchup. You need that vinegar. You do. That's why when I make my steaks, I will serrate the steak a little bit in a cross pattern, and I'll have it marinate in balsamic vinegar for the better part of 2 hours if I can, maybe four even. And then once that kind of gets sopped up, then I put a garlic powder on the top, and I still eat it with ketchup. And that comes out way better than any steak you're ever going to have at Charlie's or Ruth's Chris or any. I'm not saying these aren't fine high-end steakhouses. They're just, I don't know. I have a hard time forking over $50 for a steak that I can make for about 12. That's a high-end cut of meat. Back at home for damn well near free. All right, sponsors. Get us sponsors. All right. Curse of the High IQ is out, as you know that. And yesterday, I got it up on Kindle. So for all you people that have been the proverbial broom shoved up my ass that you wanted me to sweep while I was putting things on Kindle and podcasting and writing and blogging for you at the same time, I have done that. I have put together the Kindle book. It's available. It's actually quite cheap. I guess the research has come in and that you'll sell a lot more, so you'll make up on volume what you will for price. But I was like looking there like saying, oh yeah, you want to price it at $3.99. Because then at $4.99, they show you a chart. And, you know, it's estimates. I understand. And it, like, drops. Like, your revenue drops. I'm like, are you kidding? $1 more off of four? Under $5. And it's going to be that much of an effect. I'm like, okay, I guess price elasticity is very sensitive here. So, but it's available, I think, for $3.99. Maybe I made it $4.99. I don't know. It's cheaper than a drink. It's cheaper than a steak at a steakhouse. You could buy 10 Kindle books for one steak if you go to Morty's. And then we have all the other books, all of them in paperback and Kindle, some in audiobook. We have Enjoy the Decline, Living with and Accepting the Death. It's just how to enjoy the decline. It's in the title. So Let Go, Don't Worry About Bernie Sanders Becoming Our Next President. We have Worthless, The Young Person's Indispensable Guide to Choosing the Right Major. We have my Amazon affiliate plan. If you do any shopping online and you want to support the old captain here, but you don't want to make a donation, you want something in return for your money, all I want you to do is do your shopping through my Amazon affiliate program. That's it. It's simpler than saying Amazon affiliate program. Just go to my blog, captaincapitalism.blogspot.com. Click on the Amazon ad little banner there. Boom. It takes you to Amazon site, but now they know you came from me. And whatever you buy, I get a 7% cut. You don't pay anymore. So it's a win-win-win. If you get yourself into the habit, the good habit of going there first and taking the inconvenience out of your day to stop at my blog first and click one extra time, it really does go a long way. Then we have Captain Capitalism Reserve. That's the best of. Asshole Consulting. If you guys need help, go to my consulting division, assholeconsulting.com. Yes, I charge, but unlike every other company, service, consultancy out there, I tell you the truth. And that's why it's actually much cheaper to go with me, not only because we actually solve your problems, But if I'm allowed to speak the truth, it takes a fraction of the time and thus the fraction of a cost to solve your or address your issues. There's the Cafe Press. Just look for the little green advertisement on my blog, CaptainCapitalism.blogspot.com. Buy some crap. It's Cappy Crap. That's what it is. Cappy Crap. The Best Offshore Banks by Nomad Capitalist. You can go to nomadcapitalist.com. But if you want to buy the book, go to my blog again. You say, well, why I got to go to the blog? That's how every one of these advertisers know whether or not it's working or not. It's kind of a pain. I know, it's an extra click you got to go. But then they say, oh, yeah, I found this through Cappy. And they want you to do it too, so they know where their traffic is coming from. So if you could do that, a good book there. Bachelor Pad Economics by me. They'll be coming out on audiobook here probably when I get back home in early March. Kind of actually miss my girlfriend. I actually desperately miss her. And I can usually go a week before like, I kind of miss her. Because you guys are always like on each other's ass. You go, girl, get her out of here. What do you want? I'm going to go for guys night. I'm going to go for girls night. Get out of here. And then a week goes by. It's like, I could see her again. And then 2 weeks go by. Like, crap, I really miss her. And you're just like, hey, how you doing? But I will be making it out to the West Coast. I'm not going to cut my trip short because this is... It's not like I'm like crying myself to sleep, looking sad and pathetic like this dog. It's just kind of like, shit, I really miss her. I know you MGTOWs think I can't be a MGTOW. I know. Well, okay, you MGTOWs know I can be a MGTOW. The Virgin TOWs don't think I can be a MGTOW. That's got to be very conflicting for the Virgin TOWs. Judge for me, will you, Virgin TOWs? I throw myself before the court of Virgin TOW. Your Honor, I have bought a motorcycle on a whim, driven it almost across the country, intend to get to the Pacific, and then drive back up the coast of California into Vegas, visiting my good friend, the great Matt Baldoni and Captain Ben. I will probably do hiking and climbing, and after this, it will be a truly cross-country trip. I will leave it there for storage during winter. I will fly back out in May when the snow has melted from the northern states and drive it all the way back home. But I have flown my girlfriend out here first class because I missed her so much I wanted to get her something special. Am I a MGTOW? Do I not bleed when you cut me? Do you not defecate and urinate? Tell me, Virgin TOW Court of Appeals, am I a true MGTOW? I must be very, very complicated. It may be conflicting, I understand. Oh, he's doing all these manly things. More manly than what we'll ever do, but he flew out the pussy. Oh, he's a pussy pedestaler. I mean, am I like, is there my class? Am I like 30% MGTOW? I mean, is there hope? The fact my penis has touched the lips of another woman's pussy, does that mean I'm forever banned from being a virgin? Tell me, I don't know. What is the definition? Today I've seen more MGTOWs on the road than I ever have on the internet. That's true. There are more you'll see more MGTOWs on motorcycles than you will on the internet. That's the real ones. Just trying to make you guys better. Jeez. Just trying to get you out of the house. Have you go run a couple miles. Get some exercise. Live life. Enjoy women. My gosh, how can't you enjoy women? I know many of them are a pain in the ass, but again, haven't you met one? Not one good woman in your life? If you say no, then I don't believe you. Then there is something wrong with you. I like girls. I like them a lot. And I got all my female friends saying hi. They're like saying hi on the Facebook and the Twitter. It's like, hello, girls. How are things going? Say hello to the boys. Oh, maybe we should get back to the sponsors, huh? We have Glorious Hat. Get Glorious Carl's Glorious Hat by going to glorioushat.com. Check that out. We have The Black Man's Guide Out of Poverty. Man, I got a lot of books. It's always a debate to what to throw up on the top. I want The Black Man's Guide Out of Poverty to do a lot better than it is. Because it really is that. I mean, if we're talking about a book that could really help out those that need it the most, that's it. That would be the one with the most potential. But, you know, do you put that above Asshole Consulting? Does it go above the fold? What about Amazon? You know, you got to go with what sells. I know. We have Chad Elkins. He's our in-house tax guide here, our in-house CPA. So if you go to my site, CaptainCapitalism.blogspot.com, click on Chad Elkins' banner. That'll take you to his Facebook page. He is so busy with tax season. That's what happens with tax season. They get very busy. He hasn't had time to put up his blog. But you'll still be able to get in contact with them. Ensure there's only one rule. I'm going to screen out his own clients for him. If you're the type that files extensions with your taxes, do not contact him. I've said it before and I'll say it again, and I've had this conversation with him. The number one strength of being self-employed is you choose your clients. And you do not want to be bogged down with bad clients because they suck up your time. They may be profitable, but they can easily whittle your hourly earnings below $5 an hour. You want to cherry pick your clients. And you want to give them a good deal that's fair to them because they're going to take less of your time with bullshit. That's why I get any of these whiny millennial cunts coming in. Well, I don't know. Can you cut me a deal? I'm in high school. Shut the fuck up. You're at high school. You're living at home. Good Lord, are you kidding me? Am I going to cut you a deal unless everything's paid for? Hells to the no. That's why I don't respond. That's why I jack up the price then. Do you charge more if people sound cunty? Yes, I do. How else are you going to exact your toll of revenge on true assholes or true people that have cost you more in life because they just don't know any better? That's why I charge a little bit more. Military, you get a discount. Always wanted to run a restaurant where I would be able to see and tell based on looks, dress, cars, bumper stickers, like there'd be a bunch of cameras. And then I'd be there behind the scenes. I'd say, okay, that person pays an extra 50% more. Because I'd see the Bernie Sanders bumper sticker. I'd see the woman looking without the makeup and all. You know, that arrogant look that the young college students have. Then there'd be some, I don't know, beleaguered man who obviously came off the third shift and he just wants to get good. Okay, all right, give him a 25% discount. He needs some help. Soccer mom yapping on her phone, has the ring, pays by check. Oh, yeah, double her prices right there. Double those. Yep. Beleaguered young woman comes in. She's tired, but she put herself, you know, she took the time that day to put herself together. Not slutty. Just like that old woman I saw at the grocery store. Okay, yeah, give her a 50% discount. That's a real one. We'll do that. So go to Chad Elkins' Facebook page there. Get your taxes done. And then, oh, wow. Somebody actually bought my Project Wonderful ad. If you want to sponsor the show, by the way, you can. You can get the Cappy Cap online internet empire. Charge $100 a month, but this Project Wonderful ad, you can be on the blog for $1 a day, so about $30 a month. Then we have other people's books, Welcome to the Divide by S.P. Dealey. Guys, please go buy that and read that if you haven't. His rank on Amazon is like 2 millionth place, and it's a tragedy. It's a good book, especially if you want a mind bender. You want something truly philosophical and theoretical. I would get that. As I Walk These Broken Roads by David Cerini, The Educator by Marty Andrade. He's also got his book, Nixon's Guide to the Multiverse. Silvio Canto's book, Cubanos in Wisconsin. Also tune in to my buddy Silvio's show, Canto Talk. That's over on Blog Talk Radio. You can just search that. He actually has a really good show. There's where I would go to get your political coverage. If you want to get political coverage, I would do Silvio Canto. He gets in some really good advertisers, or not advertisers, interviewers, interviewees, really good guests, especially if you're Latino or Hispanic. He does cover, because he went through the difference. He himself didn't even know, and I didn't know. I guess he's Hispanic? Whatever. He's one of those two, and he went through and said, well, what's the difference? And he had to delve into it, and he figured it out. And then he has a lot of Latino and Hispanic, so they kind of, if you want to know what's going on in Venezuela, Cuba, stuff like that, what the Latin classes of the United States are doing. It also gives you hope, because all of them are conservative. You're like, oh, all the Latinos aren't a bunch of fucking commies who want to go on welfare. Awesome, there's some hope. and then Matt Forney's book, Do the Philippines. So if you're about to go to the Philippines and you're a man and you want to quote Do the Philippines, you can go ahead and go to mattforney.com and click on the Philippines there. Academic Composition. Go to academiccomposition.com. School has started up again. So again, you guys, you students, have all these worthless papers you have to write. No reason to write them yourself. Have somebody else outsource it. Go to Academic Composition and have Alex and his crackpot team of staff write your papers for you. Also, if you're looking for a job, Alex is always looking to hire writers and marketers. Not exciting. Obviously, writing college papers for the liberal arts is a painful, stupid, mind-numbing experience. But if you can bang out bullshit, Alex wants to talk to you. So go to academiccomposition.com and contact him. He also has people post ads on Craigslist. None of this is exciting. I'm just letting you guys know for a fact for now for sure. But it can be done from anywhere in the world. So if you're looking for location-independent employment, that's the place to go. We got a ton of fan mail to go through. I haven't gotten to this in a while. I keep forgetting we got it. Dear Aaron, my name is Anthony, and I'm a longtime fan of yours. I've been reading your blog posts and seeing your videos since 2013 or so, which doesn't make me one of the old guys, but still. Thoroughly enjoyed your books, and they've provided me with an enormous amount of value over the last years, but I would like to write you personally. I want to thank you for writing Curse of the High IQ. This one is popular, guys. I'm not joking. I knew I had something here because this is the only, we could probably get to another one here, but yeah, I'm glad you guys are liking it. I'm glad it's helping out and at least providing and instilling some sanity. But yeah, there are problems with having a high IQ. Of course, we're getting like the commoners going, "Oh, are you smart? It sounds like narcissistic personality disorder if you're writing a book on high IQ." It's like, no, that sounds like somebody with narcissistic personality disorder claiming other people have it because you gel. I'm terribly sorry. Anyway, I'm not going to lie. Many of the things that are in this in-said book I already knew about with an IQ tested at 131 and an innate skill for learning languages. I've been struggling with many of the issues you list there. Yet I never realized the full extent, or rather burden, that my intellect has bestowed upon me. That's why you, having ordered and structured all these ideas in Curse of the High IQ, allowed me to swallow the truth a lot better. I wholeheartedly thank you for that, Aaron. And then he goes on, we'll find out, speaking of Latinos and Hispanics, Antonio offered to translate books into Spanish. So I'm always interested, but I don't know if the profitability or that will work, because it's one thing, you know, going after the high IQ, going after black men who want to get out of poverty, because everybody speaks English, and then you cut that down, like, okay, it would have to be sold to Spain and Mexico, like, not the Latinos in America. There's plenty, but most of those are leftists because they're too lazy to learn English. But if it could work on the Spanish-speaking circuit, that would be great. All right, bear with me here. Where's the other ones? Oh, geez, did I really? There's that many? Oh, my goodness, look at the email. I spent the entire day catching up on email when I finally got here. Lou writes. This is a very nice one. Lou Pickney, he's out on Twitter. Follow him. He's got a big following. Aaron, I finally took some time to begin The Curse of the High IQ tonight, and I couldn't put it down until I finished the entire thing. That has been said more than once. I'm not kissing my own ass. Trust you me, guys. It's that good. It resonated me like no other book ever has. My IQ is 135, and from my disdain for the education system to seemingly clashing with every boss I ever had for reasons that never made sense, particularly odd with my normally amiable personality, to why I found so much solace and success as an entrepreneur, it all matches up with the reasons you outlined in the book. I knew I was onto something. I knew it. To be sure, I will be sure to leave an overwhelming positive review on Amazon. I especially enjoyed the part about the paradox of running out of problems being a problem. It's true. By age of 30, I've done probably 90% of what I've wanted to in my life. By 35, it was more like 95%. Now here I am at 38, having lived a rather minimalist lifestyle for years, now owning my home and calling my own shots and dating many of the women I want, all while not being like so many of my friends who are dealing with crippling debt and a nagging wife, or even worse, alimony to pay. It's quite something. I've had women take me on weekend trips and insist on paying for everything. It's happened a few times, and there has been one common thread. In every case, it was actually their ex-husband's cash paying for it. I feel bad for the ex-husband, but at least we're winning in some capacity. I know that probably hurts the voice for men. I know, guys, I know. But at least it's like, it doesn't have to be us. We have the knowledge now. We can have it be some other sucker. Yet, as you noted, the tolerance to novelty is a difficulty that grows in scale over time. The only dissent I have is on sports, but that is a two-pronged for me. I make a large part of my income from analyzing the NFL draft, And knowing sports also gives me an easy way to communicate with people on the other side of the 100 IQ line. Yeah, but if you're making money on it, that makes sense. I mean, like, yeah, if I had a financial interest in sports, I'd, you know, it's like when you play cards, like, unless you got a little bit of money in it, it's kind of like, well, we're just playing cards. To point, it's easier for me to chat with a dimwit in a university jacket if I must about Vols blowing a late lead than it will be to try explain nihilism or discussing the national debt on my libertarian philosophy. I don't know who Vols is. But in general, you're right that spectator sports are a colossal waste of time and provide little tangible value to the people watching. Bill Burr is an excellent comedian. Oh, I have a whole segment on Bill Burr, because the more and more I thought about him, the more I realized he is... If you like Bill Burr, go read through it. But he is the problem. He exemplifies a problem high IQ people have, and that is your brain just can't turn off. But I delve into it, obviously, much more than that. And even when I was writing it, I had to like start redrawing the conclusions I draw from it, because there were many, many more. I'm like, oh my God, this is it. And I'm glad you mentioned him. I didn't know about his other ventures, but it doesn't surprise me that he excelled at them so quickly. And Idiocracy was a film that I suspect is more prescient than many realize. Anyway, I didn't intend for this to be a long rambling email, but I wanted to let you know how spot on your book is and how glad I am to have purchased it. I'll be definitely spreading the word about it, if not for nothing else, to encourage people who seem to never be able to figure me out or to perhaps gain a bit of insight. Yeah, it really is here to help out. I mean, if you guys are just lost and clueless, like, why the hell is everybody so damn stupid? I would definitely do that. What's this one? Thank you from Alex. Alex writes, just want to thank you for the huge amount of help your advice has given me. I was planning on majoring in economics, and I was very materialistic and was not prepared at all for any sort of disaster. But I managed to get my head out of my own ass and choose to major in mechanical engineering. There we go. Bravo. There we go. All right. Hang on. Lost my spot. And I worked hard enough in high school to only have to pay minimal amounts for college. And with the money I currently have in my savings account, I'm going to build an off-grid house. So when I graduate, I'll be debt-free with a home that'll cost me less than $2,000 a year to pay for. I plan to save as much money as possible so I can retire at a decent age and enjoy my life again. Again, I wouldn't have planned this without your videos, so I just want to thank you for all the help. Best wishes to you. Well, thank you, Alex. I appreciate that very much. I should have printed these off. Can't carry a printer on the motorcycle. Oh, is this on? Did he pay? Oh, this is a request. Okay, that's not. Is this the fan mail with the requests versus are you coming through this town? Just so you know, my general plan, I don't have specific dates or time or itinerary. I'm in Phoenix now. I'm going to hang out here for a week. Hey, say hi to Mr. Lee. Do some hiking and relax. And then weather-dependent, sun-dependent, I'm going to make it to San Diego. I don't know, I'll probably go through Yuma, I guess. But make it out there and then just go up the coast and then pretty much try to avoid Los Angeles. I got fans in San Diego, Del Mar, Balboa Island, and Oceanside. If I looked at the map, then things get very complicated traffic-wise. And so I think I will be jettisoning around the east side of that Los Angeles Empire area and then making my way back to Vegas. So my goal is to fly out of the American Southwest by the 1st of March or the first week of March. So if you're around there, let me know if you're around. I may just do a meetup over in Orange County. Is that Orange County? Yeah, let me look up Orange County. Everyone says like, oh, Orange County, the OC. Oh my gosh, the OC. Orange County. Wasn't there a soap opera? Orange County. Oh, here's a Wikipedia entry. Yeah, it looks like it's kind of right where I'm going to be. Maybe I'll just do a meetup in Orange County. It's not that far from Los Angeles to San Diego. How far is that? Yeah, it's only a 2 hour drive. So I'm used to like having to drive 5 hours. You get to the next town, you crash, you meet some people there. You drive across the next desolate wasteland piece of Texas, you get into San Antonio, you say hi to people there. Here it's almost like, oh, you should stay by and crash. And it's like, yeah, I could, but I only really need to crash there once or twice. Why don't you relax, Aaron, and spend some time in these places instead of like, I gotta sleep, then I gotta go. Why don't you just like, maybe I should just fuck around in the Palm Desert area. Look at that. All those green splotches are parks. There's a big, big lake, big reservoir out there. Maybe I'll just go fuck around in Southern California. Say hi to Leslie in San Diego. Spend a day or two on. I guess Balboa Island is nice. Everyone's saying Balboa Island is nice. I can't say a really fan. I wonder if it. I have a Hollywood actress that actually follows me, and I was like, "Hey, you gonna be around?" On Twitter. She's like, yeah. And I'm like, I've never met a Hollywood actress. And I don't mention names because I don't want to ruin a reputation because you don't want her. You don't want anyone finding out that you hang out with Republicans or Libertarians. So I might actually meet a Hollywood actress out there. Hey, I guess there is a lot of people in San Diego and Los Angeles. It would make sense that in 2 hours driving, you'd have several fans. Just not so used to being popular. All right, let's go back to the fan here. All right, there's no fan mail. I'm sorry, I should have printed this off, but I don't have anywhere to print it off. Let's go back to the other email. Okay. Free Redhead. Hey Aaron, I've recently bought your newest release book a few days ago and it arrived at my door this morning. I found that the package was relatively small. I opened the box and noticed I didn't receive a free Redhead as promised. Is my Redhead being shipped separately, or is it a mail-in rebate type thing? We'll get some free lube for the confusion. Or will I get some free lube for the confusion? Thanks, Travis. I'm sorry, Travis. Although I was thinking, I know I told you guys I was gonna back up the blog quarterly, but because of driving and all this other shit. Okay, because of there not being 36 hours in a day. I haven't been able to do that quarterly backup. Plus, the guy who is one of the people I'm going to go meet over in Southern California. He is the photographer, and we're just shy of girls. That's it. We don't. He doesn't have enough models. And this guy's a pro, and it's a whole different world, the modeling world, because you're dealing with pretty American women, at least here. And as you guys know, that is the most flaky, unreliable, pain in the ass group of people to deal with. I mean, if you are a good-looking young woman in the United States and you can show up and model on time and not be a drama queen, there is millions of dollars for you to make. Millions. So if you're interested in another career, or if you're responsible and reliable and pretty, please do that. But yeah, he's just having a hard time. And this guy's a pro. This guy has like a portfolio of women he can call upon. So along with trying to see if there were any ladies out there, if you wanted to pose, in the Cappy's quarterly, I'll be putting it together. Although this may be the past 6 months, as I back up my blog, I'm not going to be doing another 800-page book like Captain Capitalism Reserve. That's just too big. Plus, I did want it backed up. Plus, they're not big sellers. Plus, I want my stuffed up back classy. I want girls pose 1950 styles pinup. No porn, just classy. Kind of like what Playboy, I guess, is doing now because they got rid of the nakedness and the nudity. But neither here nor there. I was thinking about having some of the Cappy Cap females. They would. I don't know how we'd do it, but we'd have to put bookmarks up. I'm sure they have it available on Amazon. Or maybe I just have it on my cafe press site. And then we'd have some of the famous gals on to interwebs pose. And then you would get your free Redhead with the purchase of every book. But it would be a bookmark. It would not actually be a free Redhead. I wish we could have free Redheads. I wish they were delivered on Amazon. Unfortunately, it does not happen that way. Boy, look at this. How long did you let your email go, Aaron? Good freaking Lord. Got essays. What is Western civilization? Oh my God, look at this. Going all the way back to the 15th of January. Girl to Market new book. Oh, that's right, Jimmy. Jimmy, did you? I got to email you. Hang on, let me email him now before I forget. Are you actually emailing somebody while you're podcasting? Yes. All right, there we go. Maybe we'll have that one. Is that all the... That looks like all the... Yeah, then we're going back a month, and I did catch up. Good Lord. And I even cleaned up the email. Come on, this... The girl I'm crashing with is like an IT girl. The internet should be way faster than this. Good Lord. I have got a lot of work to do. Okay. Where was it going to go? Hang on. Someone sent me something. From Fast Coexist. This house costs just $20,000, but is nicer than yours. The Rural Studios $20,000 house is so cheap and has so much innovative design that's changing the entire housing system from mortgages to zoning laws. Oh, I love this shit. I love this shit. This is why I like those micro houses. If it just keeps getting better and better and cheaper, that's all I need. I could go out to South Dakota. I want a big garage where I can work on my motorcycles and my cars. I want to get some welding gear too. I want to build a chopper. And it's stuff like this that makes this possible. If I can get this, a nice house for $20,000. For over a decade, architecture students at Rural Studio, Auburn University's design build program in a tiny town in West Alabama, have been working on a nearly impossible problem. How do you design a home that someone below the poverty line can afford, but that anyone would want, while also providing a living wage for the local construction team that builds it? Oh, for God's sake. The living... You know what? Never mind. They're college students, Aaron. They're fucking idiots. They have horse blinders on, and they're really good at making shabby housing that's cheap, but then they try to become economists. It's just throw in that social justice warrior thing. Why does it... I can understand if your labor costs are like, you know, you want to throw them a couple extra bucks because you're saving so much on materials, but wouldn't lowering the price also include getting the best and cheapest labor possible? In January, after years of building prototypes, the team finished their last pilot project in the real world, partnering with a commercial developer outside Atlanta in a tiny community called Serenby. They built 2 one-bedroom houses with materials that cost just $14,000 each. All right, so they're small houses, because a one-bedroom house, we call those apartments or condos. The goal, to figure out how to bring the ultra-low-cost homes, called the $20,000 home, to the broader market. We're in a kind of experimental stage of the program where we're really trying to find out the best practice of getting this house out into the public hands, said Rusty Smith, Associate Director of Rural Studio. Well, Rusty, I have an idea for you. It's up to you. You can sell that business idea and your blueprints to the highest bidder, and then that will rush it to the market immediately. Or Rusty, you could start your own company, raise capital, and then you could become a real estate developer yourself. But I know you're college students, and that's not fun work, and that's not real or boring. That's boring work, and that's real work. And I know that you young people like to play in La La Land, building, you know, houses that are really great. But then when it comes to actually the hard work, the selling, the marketing, rubber hitting the road, oh, design phase is over. Now we're going to la 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 la. It's so sad that right now, I guarantee you, there's probably a smart kid in this team, smart student in this team, that knows pretty much everything. It could simply just take the blueprints and the designs and go start his own company. Probably has the knowledge. Doesn't even have to steal the blueprints and the designs. Probably knows everything, you know, what you need to know, and could just go. I mean, seriously, kid, if you're listening to me, somebody knows this kid, somebody knows somebody who knows somebody, send this podcast to him, because right now that's like a billion, multi-billion dollar idea. So why don't you stop being a social justice warrior and worrying about the poor and all this other bullshit? Why don't you go make yourself filthy rich, huh? I mean, if you're really going to undermine and revolutionize the housing industry, go make some money off of it. People, we shouldn't profit off of it. Wait, you shouldn't profit off of making a superior but cheaper product? You shouldn't profit off of doing something that would do more to boost the standards of living than the internet? You shouldn't profit off of that? Oh, you dumb millennial kids. Really, this first field test was just to find out all the things that we didn't know and to find out all the kind of wrong assumptions that we made and really find out how we had screwed up, honestly. Years of architecture students and their advisors have spent more than 100,000 hours tweaking each detail of the house to optimize both the function and the price, but the bigger challenge is fitting a house that's completely different than normal into an existing system of zoning and codes, how contractors do their jobs, and even mortgages. The houses are designed to appear to be sort of normative, but they're really high-performance little machines in every way, says Smith. They're built more like airplanes than houses, which allows us to have them far exceed structural requirements. We're using material much more efficiently, but the problem is our local code official doesn't understand that. Well, liberals dealing with liberals. They look at the documents, and the house is immediately denied a permit simply because the code officials didn't understand it. I don't know, really. I mean, is it meeting safety standards? Is it meeting safety features? Would a tornado just, like, not even a tornado, but a strong blow of wind knock this thing over? The foundation of the house, for example, uses cantilevers, seesaw-like joists that help save wood and concrete, and actually make the house stronger than a typical foundation would. But the design isn't in the usual guides that code officials consult, so the architects had to go back and explain how it worked. Oh, now you know what it's like to be a real entrepreneur, having to deal with government and code. If only there was a political party, that was pro-business and wanted to get rid of regulation and code to make things like this easier to introduce to the society. There's 1,001 things in the houses that are like that, he says. You never see them, the construction techniques, but the house is filled with them. Construction techniques that make the house not just less expensive, but actually makes it perform better than they normally would. To bring the house to everyone. Oh, they got a nice inside picture of the house. It looks very nice. I have to admit it does. To bring the house to everyone else who wants to build it, the team realized they would have to create a detailed guide that explained everything from how to build each piece with IKEA-like instructions to how to educate local officials. So, like, you have to assemble it yourself? A traditional construction set basically tells a builder what to build, says Smith. And what we learned that we really need is what we've come to refer to as not a construction set, really an instruction set that not just tells what to build, but specifically how to build it, and even more important, why it should be built that way. I don't know if this is going to come under 20 grand. Your materials might come under 20 grand, but if it is this complicated to build, you're also going to have to find, you know, like Home Depot will make massive amounts of lumber. So there's an entire industry, the entire lumber industry is designed to deliver raw materials as cheaply as possible. If this has to be like special fabricated or specially milled, I don't know if you're going to be able to keep it under 20 grand. In Serenby, the first problem was the zoning issue. The houses were too small. It's a common problem for anyone trying to build a tiny home. But they also realized there were numerous other issues, from dealing with insurance to the bank. In the pilot project, the homes will be owned by the community and shared with artists as part of a residency program. Why do artists always get like these handouts? But in a typical case, when someone is buying the home on a limited income and can't afford the $20,000. Dude, if you can't afford a $20,000 loan at 3.5%, you can't afford shit. Okay? Look, I'm a minimalist. Okay, I understand. But if you can't afford this house because you're that poor, fuck you. You ain't trying. You just aren't trying. Working at McDonald's part-time, you could afford this house. A $20,000 mortgage? My God, that's a fraction of what you'd have for... I mean, that's $100,000. I'd have to go and do it. Well, let's do it. Come on, Clary. Let's do a mortgage calculator. Oh, my God. I mean, how low do we lower the bar for the lazy in our country? How low do we lower it for the poor? What do you mean? Come on. You a $20,000 house and ooh, people may not be able to afford it. Well, then maybe these people just, I don't know, should have a little bit of Darwinism happen to them and go live in a gutter and die. I'm sorry. How lazy are you? Jesus Christ. $20,000 loan amount. Let's just say $18,000. Interest rate, 4 years. I just want a payment. Don't give me this fucking crap. All these ads. What? Home value, loan amount, property tax. No, this is not it. Sad we know the calculator is wrong. An $18,000 loan. Oh, there it is. Your monthly payment is $106. Jesus Christ. If you can't afford a mortgage payment of $106, just fuck you, man. Just fuck off and die. Just get out of the gene pool, okay? I understand, like, if you're handicapped or so. Okay, all right. But if you're a physically able-bodied person and you can't afford a $106 payment, you shouldn't be on this planet alive, okay? You're just so lazy, you shouldn't be living. That's just sad. Honest to God, what lazy sack of filth won't you academic leftists give to people? Oh, banks won't finance a mortgage for such a small amount of money. Of course not. Oh. Regions Bank, which works with rural studios, told Smith that a mortgage for $100,000 cost the bank about $2,300, but a mortgage for a $20,000 loan also cost $2,300. See, there you go. There you go. Problems. Maybe you could start a lending company to do this. There are these structural things you can only scale down so far. Now the bank has worked on their own design problem, a new mortgage product made for the poorest people to afford. The team is trying to address all the issues the house faces at once. The most daunting problems aren't brick and mortar problems. They're these network and system problems that are threaded together and all intersect in the build environment, he said. We're able to attack all these problems simultaneously. When we see a lever over here and wiggle it, we can very clearly see the implication it has on the systems down the road. The houses also had to look good despite the tiny budget. The development near Atlanta might at first seem like an unlikely place to build the pilot homes. It's a lush planned community that includes million-dollar houses. Oh, yeah. You think these guys, once they find out the shitbergs are moving in next door with their $20,000 loan that they had to get fucking an FHA loan or they had to have charity pay for, you think multimillionaires are going to buy multimillion-dollar homes in these neighborhoods where the shitbergs live? Fuck no. The architects partnered with the developer for several reasons, including their ability to keep going through seemingly impossible problems, but they also liked the idea of showcasing homes as such a desirable area. What? Nobody is going to live in this town. Hey, any rich people in Atlanta, don't move into Serenburg or Serenby. Don't move to Serenby, all right? Don't. Don't buy a house. Don't, developers, don't build a multi-million-dollar home. Just don't go there. We provide the information to you. Wait. Once we have the full instruction set ready, the team wants to share it with anyone who wants to use it. The ultimate goal of the project is to give it away. Oh, you stupid millennials. They really did brainwash you well in this. They really did. I mean, I thought Bill Gates was kind of moral because he knows he's going to have to give away his money because he's not going to live through it. Plus, he lives like a king anyway. Zuckerberg, okay, you know, he made his money and he's going to give most of his money away to charity. But they got you guys, like, but at least, you know, Zuckerberg and what's his name, Gates, live it up a little bit. You guys are just going to throw this away. A true revolutionary game changer. You're just going to throw it away. You're not even going to secure your lifelong financing needs. This is great. I love to see liberals and leftists and idealistic millennials shoot themselves in the foot. I really do love it. Could you guys at least, like, sell it to pay for the tuition? Could you? At least have it so, like, academia didn't fuck you up the ass. Originally the pro... Oh, no, now it's going to play. It's going to play. Let me turn down the volume. Originally, the project aimed for a house that would cost $20,000 in total, including construction, though they now believe that more money may be needed to provide a living wage to builders. They rejected the idea of using factory-made prefab parts, something that a related project in the area does, because one of the main goals is to also provide jobs. So you're going to do everything by hand. You're going to refuse technology. You're going to try and build a super cheap house, but you're going to refuse to. So your goal, presumably, for employment problems and living wage jobs is to overpay people beyond the market wage and have them use outdated technology. Why don't we turn all the why don't we refuse or deny farmers the right to use equipment? Let them use oxen and plows. Okay, let's instead of like harvesters, let's have people pick actual crops in the fields. Oh, the stupid. So brilliant, yet so stupid. I mean, that's the idea. That's the idea, is to use archaic technology. To not use the latest technology, but to use archaic technology so that we have make-work jobs. So we make it harder, last longer, and shoddier equipment because machining and prefab stuff is more accurate. Does it dawn on you idiot kids that jobs would form in other areas of the economy as the cost savings would allow people, they'd still have the money. See, they'd have the money. And these people would then spend the money on other things. So then these construction workers would not go into construction, but they might become waiters or waitresses, or they might become chefs, or whatever it is all these people would do with their discretionary and disposable income, all this money they have left over. Maybe they buy a car. See, you could help out the U.S. auto workers. That would almost be the most direct cost right there. I bet you people buying a house, if they had to pay more, that directly affects buying cars. Why don't you young, idiot, stupid kids just stick to with what you know and stop trying to solve the world's problems, of which you are horrendously ignorant and misinformed even of? Just so naive of how the real world works. Just make your cute little fucking Lego house. Give it away for free. See it turned in. Does it stop bullets? Is it bulletproof? Because I have a feeling this might not be the safest neighborhood if you're just giving it away to poor people who are so poor they can't afford a $106 mortgage payment. Oh, I gotta go visit Serenbi or whatever it's called. Because one of the main goals is to also provide jobs. Still, whatever the final cost, it will be cheap. And if someone wants to put it together themselves, it will cost less than $20,000. Okay, so it's an IKEA house. We provide the information to you so that if you wanted to sort of self-service the house yourself, it is a house that with the right set of instructions, anybody who wanted to could build it, Smith says. He's impatient to share the plans with the world. We're behind schedule, quite honestly, he says. So many people need to know. You know what, dude? Send me a copy. I'll go build my own house. I'll give it the once over. We'll see if it's like, you know, a reasonably intelligent person can put it together. I'm all for it, man. If you can make a $20,000 house, but look at you. It's not enough. It's never enough for you leftists. It's not until you're committing suicide and bleeding your own blood for some leftist loser parasite will you be happy. You just cut housing by over 90% of the cost. Now you got to work out some problems. I admit that. The financing industry will have to come up with a new way to finance these homes. I mean, contractors will have to learn how to build them. But then that's not enough in your mind. You just wiped out the single biggest expense. This would be the single largest advancement for humanity. You should be very proud of that. But then you just, you're brainwashing and your idiocy and your social justice warning. Don't you get it? Don't you see how these academians and professors and your teachers all lied to you? This isn't enough. What will be enough? You will have been saints for delivering this and creating it. But you have so much guilt. Is that what it is? Is it guilt? Is it you don't know any better? Do you actually think that there's value in just throwing money away to people who don't deserve it? Are you even cognizantly aware of the possibility, of the feasibility, of the statistical likelihood, of the theory that most of the people out on welfare who are poor are because of their own stupid mistakes and decisions and don't really deserve it. They don't deserve this charity. Does that dawn? I mean, is it? That is going to be a psychologically tortured life I don't want to ever live. Where you deliver such greatness, if this comes to fruition, where you revolutionize an economy so much and help out as humanity so much, freeing up, I mean, this would solve the national debt. We could actually tax people enough to pay it off. You'd have that much disposable income. But even with a game changer like this, with something truly revolutionary and truly altruistic, you're not even going to reward yourself for this revolutionary advance. You're not going to pay yourself, and then you're going to still try and give it away for free, even though you effectively did make housing free. When does it stop? Billy has one penny more than Jamie. We got to go and make half cents. When do you stop? When do you just say, damn good, we solved the housing problem of the world, of all of humanity? All right, guys, that's it. I can't stand this stupidity anymore. It's just so sad. It is just so sad. We had it. We had it in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. We had it, but by God, we're just gonna go down a path of psychopathology, craziness, insanity. This is nuts. It's just nuts. But that's why, you know what? Sun's getting up. I'm gonna go get my motorcycle here. What time is it? Almost 11 o'clock. I got a 6-mile run to go pick up my rental car. I'm going to be a real MGTOW and have sex later on tonight. See the girlfriend. You virgin TOWs, you can get all pissed off and claim I'm not. And maybe you can ride a moped instead of a motorcycle. I don't know. Baby steps. You got to start somewhere. And the rest of you guys have a good night. Toodles.